Folks, do I have a treat for you today? I met this gentleman about 3 or 4 years ago in Florida at the National Autism Conference, and we talked, and I just, right then, after reading many of his articles and studies and what have you, I knew I had to have him on the show, and then we kind of lost contact, and every once in a while I would think about getting him back on the program, and something would happen, and it just happened this time after this last article that I read from him that I knew that we had to get Dr. Russell Blaylock on the program. So today, as soon as we get back from the break, we're going to have Dr. Russell Blaylock on for the entire hour. You are listening to Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com. All right, folks, welcome to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr., bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. As I promised at the beginning of the program, Dr. Russell Blaylock is on today. Doc Blaylock, how you doing, man?
Doing very good. Appreciate the invitation.
Well, man, I'm thrilled. In fact, I even went upstairs, and this sounds kind of comical, but I even went upstairs and I had my smartphone on me, and I got your email back when I emailed you and said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'd sure love to have you on the program. And at the time, I was on Linderman Live with Autism One Radio, and then when you emailed me back saying, sure, I remember you. You were that martial arts fighter and everything. I took it up and said, God, look, Kim, he remembers me. So it was kind of silly. But I'll tell you what, we've got so much to talk about today, and I really want my listeners to hear your take on this. The main reason I got you on the program was your recent article about the nano-aluminum particles in the chemtrails, and I think it's just so important that people understand what's going on here. So could you tell me what got you interested in this and what started you writing this, this recent paper?
Well, the connection has been the aluminum and the vaccines. I wrote several articles about the effect of the adjuvants in vaccines, including the mercury and the aluminum effect. Then I found some articles about the chemtrails, and there was a lot being said about it, and I wasn't too sure whether it was true or not, because in my state we rarely saw them. But as I started looking on the internet, and I would see these states in which there were these crisscross patterns, and they were very tight patterns, and these geometrical shapes, where it was obvious they were, it was a purposeful covering of the atmosphere with these patterns, and the trails were so long. Well, now we're starting to see them in my state. And as I look at them, they go from horizon to horizon. Well, I've been alive long enough to know that jets never did that in the past. And I see the same patterning effect. Now, where they're crisscrossing, it's an obvious pattern. And so I looked into the literature and some of the reports and YouTube videos, and they were saying that they were dropping one of the ingredients was aluminum. Well, I had done a fair amount of writing and research on the effect of aerosolized chemicals in the nose when you breathe them. And what we knew was that these particles tend to travel along the olfactory nerves, which are the smell nerves in the nose, and it travels directly to the part of the brain that has to do with memory and emotions. The hippocampus, the entorhinal area, and the prefrontal cortex, and that you can trace these chemicals traveling along that nerve and depositing in this area of the brain. The other thing that was known is that if you aerosolize aluminum, it's one of the metals that passes very easily along this track and directly into the brain, so it bypasses the blood-brain barrier and goes directly into the brain and accumulates. Well, if you do it in animals, it produces lesions or damage in that area of the brain, and the animal will begin to show changes of memory and learning and emotional changes. When we look at people who have Alzheimer's disease, ironically, the highest concentration of aluminum in the brain is that same entry point, what's called the entorhinal cortex, and the levels continue to accumulate. So we have compelling evidence that aerosolized aluminum alone will enter the brain. it's such a small particle that it easily penetrates skin. It penetrates barriers in the body that normally metals cannot pass through. When you nanosize them, produce these incredibly small particulate matter, it passes very easily. So when you nanosize aluminum and you use it in these aerosols through the nasal passages, it enters the brain in very high concentrations. And they find that the nanosized aluminum in the brain is infinitely more toxic. Now, one of the toxic reactions to aluminum is intense inflammation and activation of cells in the brain that are the immune cells called microglia. Aluminum is a very potent activator of these immune cells, and that triggers the release of a powerful substance called glutamate, which is an excitotoxin that causes cells to die from an excitatory mechanism, kind of complex mechanism, but it is a combination of inflammation and excitotoxicity. And I coined the term in the medical literature called immunoexcitotoxicity to describe that process. So we know that occurs. We know it occurs very easily. Now, the reports are coming out now that what they're spraying is nano-sized aluminum, and the idea is the concept of preventing global warming, and they nano-size the aluminum so it'll stay in the upper atmosphere longer, supposedly as a reflective compound, a metal. The problem with that, even from a climatologic description, is that if you make it into cirrus-like clouds rather than reflecting it upward and out of the atmosphere, it reflects the heat downward and actually causes global warming. So they, you know, you could envision that they're doing this on purpose to make the atmosphere heat up so they can see the atmosphere is warming up. But what I'm concerned about mainly is the medical effect, and that's because of this very strong connection between aluminum passing through this pathway into the brain is so strongly connected with Alzheimer's disease and other diseases of memory. If you're aerosolizing this and spraying literally tons of it over the world, and people are constantly breathing that aerosolized, nano-sized aluminum, which will easily penetrate filters in your air-conditioned system, enter your home. So you're breathing it 24 hours a day, producing high levels of aluminum in this part of the brain, and the consequences could be absolutely devastating. Could cause a huge increase in Alzheimer's disease and inflammatory neurological disorders. Now, I watched a YouTube, which was a geoengineering conference that the government had put on. And in the conference, one of the questions somebody in the audience asked, well, what is the medical effect of spraying aluminum in the atmosphere? And the speaker said, well, we don't really know, but we're in the process of researching that. Well, of course, that was an absolute lie. We do know what it does.
Right.
But the fact that they were admitting that, in fact, they were going to spray, they gave it in the future tense, that they were going to spray aluminum. The evidence now from the examination by a biologist and scientists around the world is that the aluminum level in the lakes and streams and trees and is increasing enormously. Some areas have incredible elevations of aluminum in the groundwater and in the vegetation. So if this indeed is happening, we're looking at a medical catastrophe that's worldwide.
Well, you know, and one of the main things that bothers me about that is we see the same thing with the vaccines. You know, we're going to put all these vaccines together and inject them into your child. Well, have we tested that? No, we don't know what's going on. To already implement this program and have it going out, literally, I mean, I live in Missouri, and I can tell you, on any given day, it's chemtrail after chemtrail after chemtrail. Just, it's ridiculous. It covers the entire sky on certain days. And not knowing what the health impacts are, that's criminal.
Well, it is, and I've been on several programs, and that's what my statement was, that it's criminal, and whoever's doing this should be charged with a criminal act. That this could kill thousands, if not millions, of people eventually. I mean, if you're inducing Alzheimer's disease on a worldwide scale, and you're inducing a number of diseases just from breathing it. I mean, within the lungs, you can produce asthma, you can produce chronic lung disease. People who have pre-existing chronic lung disease will precipitously get worse, because aluminum, as it enters the epithelium of the lungs, is going to produce intense inflammatory reactions, and that's going to produce a worsening of their pulmonary conditions. Also, the aluminum's absorbed into the bloodstream, can be deposited in the heart. People with heart failure would get worse. People with hypertension would get worse. Numerous diseases could be precipitated and worsened by such an insane policy. But it is criminal. It's a criminal act.
Yeah, no doubt.
No one was asked permission to do this. This was not announced publicly. This was not entered into a public forum. So these health issues could be discussed. They just secretly have done it on a worldwide scale of an enormous proportion, dropping hundreds of thousands of tons of this product in the atmosphere.
Exactly.
The thing about it, it's irreversible. Once it enters the streams and the waters and the plants, there's no way to remove it. You know, you've destroyed massive amounts of the environment.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when we get back from the break, I want to talk about how the deniers out there, the skeptics out there, are just making themselves look completely ridiculous. Hey, folks, don't forget to support our sponsors. They support this radio program. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed with Dr. Russell Blaylock as the guest on naturalnewsradio.com. All right, folks, thanks for staying with us. Dr. Blaylock, this stratospheric aerosol geoengineering is what we're referring to when we're talking about these chemtrails. And I love how you talked about the fact that when you were younger, you knew what contrails looked like. They lasted about, maybe a couple of hundred or thousand feet, and then they slowly dissipated. And what we're seeing now is just a structured blanketing of the atmosphere. And basically what comes up has to come down. I remember that old song. And it's really frightening, because I'm reading some, in preparing for this interview, I like looking at both sides of the issue, and I'm looking at these skeptics, and they're talking about, well, these studies that were done, samples that were taken, they were taken off of aluminum-sided buildings, and all this idiot crap that they're talking about. And it's like, what aluminum-sided buildings are you talking about? Because what I'm seeing is they're taking it out of one of the tributaries of Lake Shasta, off the snow caps of the snow cap mountain of Mount Shasta. They're taking it out of the bark of trees that have died from aluminum toxicity. This is all, I mean, so blatantly real. I just can't believe that there are skeptics out there that can deny this.
Well, the skeptics usually are people who are involved with government somehow, and that's their job. Their job is to debunk it. The problem is that we have people who are trained biologists who are taking water samples, like you say, from lakes and streams. We have biologists from all over the world that are sampling it from the leaves of trees and plants and the fauna in Hawaii, in the Pacific Northwest, in Arizona. So they're doing it all over. All of them are finding the same things. And, of course, we have records of the levels of aluminum in the lakes and streams and vegetation that go back many, many decades. And so it's easy to compare. And what we see is, over the last 10 years, has been an astronomical increase in the aluminum, not just a minor variation, but an astronomical increase in the aluminum level. And, you know, when you look at it worldwide and you see the same thing, the skeptics just sort of fade into the world of nonsense. No. Most of the time when I see skeptics that are questioning what I say, others say, their arguments are so patently ridiculous, trying to concoct some nonsense explanation. And one of the defenses I gave, I would watch these chemtrails. My wife and I would watch them. And I said, I looked up and I said, notice that the jets chemtrail now has stopped, and there's a gap, and it has started again, and then it stopped, and there's another gap. Well, if it's a contrail, that means a jet the size of a B-17 is shutting its engines off and starting them back up.
Yeah.
Well,
a little sputter there.
Jets can't shut their engines off and turn them back on repeatedly. So, you know, that alone proves it's nonsense. They're not turning them on and turn them off within a short distance. And then they give the explanation, oh, it's the coldness of the atmosphere. Well, you can see two jets flying at the same time. They're both large jets. One of them has a normal contrail, very short, very small. The other next to it is a huge trail. And so they're flying at the same time, same atmosphere, same temperature, same elevation, and yet their trails are different. And they're obviously different, tremendously different. And when these chemtrails go over, it produces huge clouds. Well, you don't see contrails that produce persisting clouds.
No, they immediately begin
long
to dissipate.
After the jet is gone. You know, that's sheer nonsense. So, you know, their explanations are laughable nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, contrails, by their very nature, begin to dissipate as soon as they come out of the plane. And what we're seeing here is particles that are remaining intact and spreading. You know, it's patently ridiculous.
Sure, and they form clouds. You know,
yeah.
We've seen some days in which virtually every cloud in the sky is a chemtrail cloud, and they're there long after the jet's gone. I mean, hours after they're these huge smudges of clouding. Well, that's not a contrail. Contrails don't last that long. And the other thing that's suspicious is when they try to get the military to give them. Let them sample the fuel in these jets. They wouldn't let them do it directly. What they did is they sent them samples of jet fuel. Well, yeah, that's two different things.
Yeah.
I want to know what's in that jet fuel. I don't want to have you send me a sample. You go down to the pure tank and you know, send a sample, but you're not taking what's being sprayed into the atmosphere. So they're obviously. There's a lot of secrecy. They don't want sampling. They don't want you on the airplanes. And so you have to question, well, what's all this secrecy about?
Well, and is that how they're doing it, is adding it to the jet fuel so that it disperses? Or and this is something I don't know. Is it a big C-130 or something that's got these huge tanks and the pilots are fully aware of what they're doing?
Well, I would suspect the latter. You know, even though a lot of the people suspect what's being put in the fuel, I don't think you could put a high enough concentration in the fuel. It might interfere with the fuel and ruin the engine. I think there's separate tanks that they're spraying. And some of the photographs I've seen up close of the jets, it looks like separate nozzles. And so, you know, and the size of the cloud coming directly out of the jet is huge. I mean, it's as large as a fuselage. So, and I suspect that they have separate tanks that contain these compounds that are being sprayed.
And, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying, well, you know, you would have a pilot that would finally, you know, turn state's evidence or become a whistleblower or whatever they want to say. But, I mean, we've got pediatricians out there continuing to stick you know, needles into young children left and right over and over again. They really honestly believe they're doing the right thing, and I think that's what we're going to see with this stratospheric engineering, geoengineering, is just the simple fact that these people have been brainwashed into believing that what they're doing is important and good for the environment.
Yeah, that's certainly a strong possibility. It's, you know, pilots in the military, of course, in the military, they're told what's in those tanks is none of your business.
Right.
That's you know, out of your need to know. And you know, if you've ever been in the military, that's the way things work.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's categorized. You know, you have certain information you're allowed, and other none of your business, and you better not even look into it. So the pilot's just told, you know, spray this, and it's, you know, he may be told it's for geoengineering, but the contents of it he doesn't know. These pilots, they don't know anything about nanoaluminum. They don't know about the neurological effect of aluminum accumulation in the brain. They're just told that this is protecting the environment and preventing a catastrophe. You see, the military's even been told that this supersedes everything else in terms of national security. That global warming is the greatest threat to our national security, which is sheer nonsense. But in the military, you know, like you say, you have a closed audience that it's easy to instill this propaganda. And they don't generally ask questions. You know, when I was in the military, people didn't ask questions. You're taught not to question orders. You just carry them out. That's your duty, is to push the button and release the chemical. What's in it and what's it for and what it does and what effect it has, that's really none of your concern. You're just following orders.
Yeah, that's one reason why I only spent 4 years in the military. Because I ask questions, and
don't like questions.
No. So what we have here, we have aluminum toxicity that is literally killing trees out west, is going to be, you know, we're seeing fish kills everywhere recently across the planet. I've got a list of fish kills that are day by day for the last, like, 3 months, and every day there's a huge fish kill, and I think it has a lot to do with this, which makes me wonder, Doctor, I think this is intentional, but not on the side of they think they want to change the environment. I think this is intentional to, you know, get the population down.
Well, it's a very cruel way to do it. The other thing is the huge number of birds that are dying.
Mm-hmm. I think for sure that that's what we're going to be seeing. I tell you what, when we get back from the break, I want to talk a little bit more about this stratospheric aerosol geoengineering and ask you a question that pertains to the vaccines and this engineering project that they've got going on in the stratosphere. We're going to be right back, folks. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com. All right, folks, thanks for staying with us. I've still got Dr. Blaylock on the program. If you want to check out his stuff, you can go to www.blaylockwellnesscenter.com. And if you haven't subscribed to the Blaylock Wellness Report, what's wrong with you? I've been reading it for years. Dr. Blaylock, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, in my research and what I've read, and now my personal research, of course, and reading about it, the one thing that we've seen is the thimerosal was a big issue years ago, the mercury in the vaccines, and then what we found out was that the toxicity of the mercury was enhanced when it was put together with the aluminum. Now, what we're seeing here in the stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, what we believe is going on, and I know a lot of people are getting this, from the government and what have you, but what they're spraying is aluminum and barium. Is there any correlation there? That does the barium make the aluminum more toxic, or is that something that people haven't really looked at yet?
I haven't been able to find anything, but we know that barium has pathologic effects on human tissues. And usually pathogens, when they're added together, they can either have an additive effect or synergistic effect. The synergistic effect is a magnifying effect. It's sort of like if you have something that has a 2-plus toxicity and another chemical that has a 3-plus toxicity, instead of a total of 5-plus, when you put them together, you get a 25-plus. Mm-hmm. That's what synergism is. It's an incredible magnification of the toxicity when they're added together. And that certainly could be the case with barium and aluminum, particularly the nano-size aluminum, which is infinitely more toxic than normal particulate or solutions of aluminum.
Now, the other thing, you mentioned this earlier about like the asthma and what have you. When this aluminum gets into the body, it's going to deposit in all parts of the body. You breathe it in, you're going to swallow some because it's going to be in the soil and on the food and everything else. So it's going to be deposited throughout the body. And we've already got recent CDC reports from an interview type anecdotal study. It was 1 in 50 with autism. Now, I'm a firm believer in my personal life that aluminum is playing as big of a role as the mercury, if not a larger role, in the autism epidemic. We're still injecting our children with autism, and now we've got these chemtrails with nanoparticleized aluminum dropping onto our homes, our land, getting through the furnace because it's nano, so we're breathing it in, like you said, 24 hours a day. I think we're going to see, not just with Alzheimer's, as you discussed earlier, but with autism and other neurodevelopmental issues like that in our children, if it's dangerous to the older folks, I can only imagine what it's like to a fetus, where the mom's carrying the child and getting exposed to this, and then it comes out to the onto the planet with all this crap in it.
Well, you're right. It's a big danger of the pregnant woman. Breathing in this material and ingesting it, raising her blood levels of aluminum, particularly the nano size, could easily pass through the placenta into the developing baby. And a developing brain, of course, is infinitely more sensitive to these toxic substances. The nano aluminum in a developing brain is going to cause the brain to develop abnormally and produce chronic inflammation in the brain. And when we look at autism, what we see is the brain is chronically inflamed even for decades. They examined autistic people up to age 45 and found that their microglia, their inflammatory cells in the brain, were still activated. So it's a very, very prolonged activation. Now, that's what the adjuvants in the vaccines do. you add the mercury and the aluminum, both of which are powerful adjuvant enhancers. That is, it makes the immune reaction hyper intense. Well, it doesn't just make it hyper intense in the body where you inject it, but it also spreads to the brain. The brain becomes incredibly inflamed, and that's why these little babies scream and holler for days or weeks. That's why they have seizures. That's why they develop narcolepsy. That's why they develop all of these complications that are accepted as vaccine complications. I've written a number of scientific papers. It's in the literature, the Medline, about the mechanism by which vaccination process produces autism. Well, the accumulated evidence we have from the scientific literature is so convincing and compelling. It's unbelievable that we still have people resisting the idea of the connection. Yet we do, you know, and it's because of the enormous money. It's because the vaccines are part of the population control process. So they gear up their forces, they control the media, and so the media tell their story and they will not tell the real side of the story. And unfortunately, what I've found is the people that are involved in the autism question, the groups, they're off on different tangents and they're not looking at a central mechanism. That's the lectures I gave that you attended. Mm-hmm. I was trying to emphasize to them, you're never going to win this argument unless you show a simple central mechanism. There's got to be a mechanism by which the vaccines are doing this. Well, when we look at experimental literature, if you take animals and you inject them with an adjuvant, an immune enhancer, their brain becomes hyperactive in terms of inflammation and excitotoxicity. You can do that regularly in every species of animals, so it's something that happens. Well, you look at what we're doing in children, we give them anywhere from 6 to 8 doses of powerful adjuvant in one office visit. Then 2 months later, you repeat that. You give it to them again. Well, there's a process called priming of microglia, and that is when you give that first series of injections, it primes these immune cells in the brain to overreact. The next series of injections causes an intense outpouring of immune chemicals and excitotoxins at the same time. Every time you repeat that, which they're doing every 2 months for a year, they're repeating this process of multiple adjuvant injections in children. Well, during the first 2 years after birth is when the brain has its most intense development. And so when you produce this inflammation, this excitotoxicity in the brain during that period, the brain's abnormally formed. It's abnormally functioning. And that's what we see in Alzheimer's, the very exact pathologic finding you see when you do this in animals. So it's a simple mechanism, well demonstrated. It is absolutely insane, the vaccine policy that we have in this country. It's almost assured to produce these problems, and yet it's completely ignored. And now, even more shockingly, they're telling pregnant women they should have these injections of vaccine.
Yeah.
Well, if you do that in experimental animals, you increase the risk of autism and schizophrenia about sixfold. So you're looking at something that when we do it experimentally, you're going to massively increase the incidence of autism and schizophrenia about 20 years after birth. For the schizophrenia, in about 4 or 5 years, or down as low as 2 years after birth, in case of autism. Well, I'm not surprised we've seen this massive increase in autism since the 1980s, because that's when they changed the vaccine schedule and started giving these mass injections every 2 months. But parents need to wake up, look at the literature, and protect their children, because these people are not protecting their children. Now, you take your average pediatrician, this material I just presented to you, they've never heard of it. They don't have a clue. They've never heard of sickness behavior. They don't know how microglia work. They don't know about immunoexcitotoxicity. They've never heard of any of this. They just think vaccines are safe because somebody told them it was, and they concocted some fake studies, epidemiologic studies, to make it seem like it was safe. But if you examine the studies closely, they don't tell you that at all. In fact, the studies that have been held most closely indicate, in fact, they're damaging the brains of these children.
Yeah. And like I said, I was talking earlier, and I said I probably know more than most doctors. And that's why, you know, it just angers me so much when I hear people just blindly believing what these doctors have to say. You know, you've got to follow the money for one thing, and it's just so ridiculous. But my concern is, as you were talking, down where you live, you weren't seeing, 5 years ago, you weren't seeing all the chemtrails that much, and now you're seeing a greater increase in them. I've been seeing them around here for the last 5 years, and it's gotten to the point where it just covers the sky. That's going to increase things a lot worse. Is this nano aluminum, is it as neurotoxic as the aluminum that we're seeing in the vaccines, or is it more?
Well, it's more toxic than what they used to put in the vaccines, but now I understand they're using nano aluminum in the vaccines.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so if you use the nano in the vaccines, not only do you drastically increase the inflammatory and excitatory toxicity systemically, that is in the body, but you dramatically increase its accumulation in the brain as well. And it appears to be a lifetime accumulation. The cells it's accumulating in are primarily immune cells. And those are the cells that produce the damage we see in all these neurologic conditions, from autism spectrum disorders, ADHD, all the way to Alzheimer's. So this is a full spectrum of neurological disease, from development and birth all the way to the extremes of age. It's a very devastating thing that these people have initiated.
So, Dr. Blaylock, I've got to ask you this, because, you know, my son is affected by autism. That's why I do what I do. And vaccine injured, of course. And I've got, I'd say 40% of my listening audience probably has something to do with autism. And you were talking about this mechanism, if you will, and this inflammatory response, which is causing this. What, and I'm not asking for a magic bullet, what do you suggest? I know my son has that inflammatory response from the injections that he got. How do I get that inflammatory response down? You're talking about the aluminum in the environment, and you're basically saying, you know, once it's in there, it's done. We can't do anything about it. Is that the case with our bodies, with our children's bodies?
No, there's a number of natural substances that, if they don't remove the aluminum, they can greatly neutralize its toxic effect in the brain. Simple things like vitamin E, the natural forms vitamin E, tocotrienols, and tocopherols, they tend to reduce that inflammatory response. Vitamin C, particularly in combination with vitamin E, is a powerful protectant for the brain. For an older child, things like curcumin. Curcumin binds the aluminum and neutralizes its toxic effect. And I've reviewed a paper that found that saffron removes aluminum from the brain. So, you know, there's a number of things. A high flavonoid intake, you know, like fruits and vegetables, particularly the vegetables, that are high in things like hesperidin and quercetin and curcumin and ellagic acid and apigenin, and all of these things tend to bind aluminum, neutralize its toxicity. Things that increase the toxicity
And so what you're saying is if we use these, you get rid of that, or you drastically reduce that aluminum toxicity, the inflammation goes down, and these kids can start getting better, maybe not recovered, but better?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we see in a lot of these cases. Once you change their nutrition, they start getting better. And there's just compelling evidence now from the research literature that excitotoxicity is playing a major role in autism and ADHD and a number of these diseases. Well, these supplements I name reduce excitotoxicity. Vitamin B12, folic acid helps reduce it. And when we look at autistic cases, when you start using these supplements in the autistic cases, they get better. When you improve the gut flora, the probiotics in the gut, that modulates immunity, so it lowers the immune reaction. Vitamin D3 is a very important molecule in reducing this the effect of the aluminum, as well as anything that activates immune cells and inflammation. And a great number of these children are vitamin D3 deficient. So taking vitamin D3 during pregnancy and giving it to the child after birth and throughout life, raising that vitamin D3 level does a tremendous amount to reduce that immunoexcitotoxic reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Now, everything, the one thing that just blew me away about what you just said is when you were talking about the omega-6s and peanut oil. My son eats incredibly healthy. We eat all organic. He loves his green and red and yellow vegetables. He eats them like crazy. But the one thing he is just fanatic about is peanut butter.
Well, generally what you can do with the peanut butter is use the organic peanut butter. Pour off the oil that separates, drain it off as much as you can, and replace it with extra virgin olive oil. And when you mix it up, it won't separate anymore, and it tastes just like the regular peanut butter. You don't taste the olive oil. So that's one way to remove a lot of that peanut oil out of his peanut butter.
And damn it, I'm telling you what, we get that peanut butter and that oil's up at the top, and we just mix that stuff in to make it creamy, and God, who knows what we're doing. So
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, don't mix the oil that's in the peanut butter. Pour that off and replace it with extra virgin olive oil.
Absolutely. I'll do that from now on. Maybe that'll change some things. I'll tell you, when it comes to... The one thing that really got me into you years ago before I started looking at your glutamate receptor research and all that was just your work on MSG and aspartame. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of people that's got to think that, oh, yeah, you got Dr. Blaylock on. You're going to sit around with your tinfoil hats on and talk about all your conspiracy theories and everything. But all of this that you're talking about, the nano particle aluminum, the toxicity of the aluminum in the vaccines, the MSG and the aspartame, this is all medical science, proven fact. It's just, it's so pathetic how they can, you know, ostracize people for telling the truth.
Well, they do, but you generally, what you find with these people, if they would ever debate me, or they want to write something directly that I can answer, I can crush them, because there's so much literature about glutamate toxicity. It's just incredible. Every cell in the body has glutamate receptors, and now we're finding a great number of diseases are affected by high levels of glutamate. For instance, it dramatically increases cancer growth and cancer invasion. It's like a cancer fertilizer. We know that it worsens things like diabetes. It can induce a metabolic syndrome. You give high doses of MSG to newborn animals, they develop the metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes. So we know there's a great number of diseases, and the list just keeps growing. Well, if anyone's a skeptic, get on PubMed, you know, the official medical government list of medical references. Get on there and type in glutamate or glutamate receptor. You get about 30,000 or 40,000 pages of articles, 20 articles per page. You won't even be able to read all the titles. There's so many. It's one of the fastest growing areas of research, not just in neurologic diseases, but virtually every disease. We're seeing that the glutamate receptors are universal receptors found everywhere. It's found in plants. It's found in every animal. It's found in every tissue. So it is one of the most critical. 90% of all neurotransmission in the cortex of the brain is by glutamate. Over half the transmission in the entire brain is by glutamate. That far exceeds all the other neurotransmitters combined. And all of them are controlled and regulated by the glutamate receptors. So anyone who talks about this being of no consequence is talking through their hat. They don't know their literature. I write a number of articles on this in relation to brain tumors and effect on various tissues. So if you want to look at these articles and see the references, I always have 200 or 300 references per article, and you can look up for yourself. I encourage the skeptic to challenge me because I have the literature on my side, the science is on my side, certainly not on theirs. And most of them have no clue of what they're talking about.
That's true. And it would rather be ironic that we'd be wearing aluminum foil hats.
Yeah. Well, this is a common method to just dispel things, is make your opponent look like they're just fringe, ridiculous people that are conspiracy nuts. Of course, if you look at the ideas that they're expressing, they're irrefutable. And the whole idea of using these sort of disparaging remarks is to make it where people won't even look at what you're saying.
Right.
Because what they fear most is that people will look at what you're saying and come back and say, well, that makes a lot of sense. They seem to be making a lot more sense than their distractors. And that's what terrifies them. It was like during the fluoride debate. I remember one of the articles I found was a statement by a professor of dental in a dental school. And he told his fellow professors, he said, whatever you do, don't let them debate fluoride because they'll always win. Just teach them that it's safe and it's good, but no debates.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they're terrified of, is that the public just might look at your data. They might look at your argument and come away thinking, their argument is a lot stronger than yours.
Right. I'll tell you, we've only got a couple of minutes left, Dr. Blaylock. So if people want to learn about you, I've already given the website, but go ahead and give it again and tell them how to get the Blaylock Wellness Report.
Yeah, you can get that through the www.blaylockwellnesscenter.com. That's Blaylock, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K, wellnesscenter.com. And you can find a link to subscribe to the newsletter through that.
And on that BlaylockWellnessCenter.com, can they also get links to your previous articles?
Yeah, my son runs that site, and he can. It has all the articles on it. I have some that I just finished publishing. I need to add to it. One is on cancer and immunoexcitotoxicity. It has to do with a brain cancer, but yeah, we can do that. These are very technical articles, but public can look at them. They can look at the references and see that this isn't just a lot of nonsense we're making up. It's published in reputable journals.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Blaylock, thank you so much for being on the program, and I really hope you come back. We've got so much to talk about.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right. This has been a blast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, tomorrow is Food Fight Friday, sponsored by BoxOrganics.com. Don't forget to check out the show tomorrow. Hope everybody enjoyed today's show. And until tomorrow, don't forget, here at Linderman Unleashed, the gloves are always off. Folks, do I have a treat for you today? I met this gentleman about 3 or 4 years ago in Florida at the National Autism Conference, and we talked, And I just, right then, after reading many of his articles and studies and what have you, I knew I had to have him on the show, and then we kind of lost contact. And every once in a while, I would think about getting him back on the program, and something would happen. And it just happened this time after this last article that I read from him, that I knew that we had to get Dr. Russell Blaylock on the program. So today, as soon as we get back from the break, we're going to have Dr. Russell Blaylock on for the entire hour. You are listening to Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com. All right, folks, welcome to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr., bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. As I promised at the beginning of the program, Dr. Russell Blaylock is on today. Doc Blaylock, how you doing, man?
Doing very good. Appreciate the invitation.
Well, man, I'm thrilled. In fact, I even went upstairs, and this sounds kind of comical, but I even went upstairs and I had my smartphone on me, and I got your email back when I emailed you and said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'd sure love to have you on the program. And at the time, I was on Linderman Live with Autism One Radio, and then when you emailed me back saying, sure, I remember you. You were that martial arts fighter and everything. I took it up and said, God, look, Kim, he remembers me. So it was kind of silly, but I'll tell you what, we've got so much to talk about today, and I really want my listeners to hear your take on this. The main reason I got you on the program was your recent article about the nano aluminum particles in the chemtrails, and I think it's just